Antonio Delgado, as promised, I'm going to ask you a single word, actually two words, shut down. It seems to me it's the ultimate disgrace, I'm sure you have something to say about it.
You know, it is the ultimate disgrace. It's incredibly irresponsible. It's reckless. And it's an indictment on the level of dysfunction right now in our political system. And what I have done, aside from voting 9 times to open up the government, I've also co-sponsored legislation asking the CBO to release daily reports detailing the economic impact of the shutdown with the hopes that it might spur action and solidarity with the federal employees who are being asked to work without pay. I have asked that my pay be withheld until the government is reopened. And I have met with individuals impacted by the shutdown, federal employees. I've spoken with the agricultural community, farmers who are hurting because they can't get reimbursements for the grants that they've been relying on for the last year, or the Coast Guard, who is currently responsible and has been responsible for cutting the ice on the Hudson River so that we can actually have commerce go up and down and heat our businesses via the energy sources that are on the Hudson River. They're being asked to show up every single day without pay. And mind you, these are members of the armed services, the first time in our country's history where a Department of the Armed Services has not been paid during a shutdown. So you hear these stories, you hear the pain of people who are living paycheck to paycheck being asked to somehow manage because of government inaction. It's a travesty. And I'm going to keep doing everything I can to shed light on these stories, to do letter campaigns. I wrote a letter to the Department of Ag, a couple of letters, highlighting the issues around SNAP, asking for a detailed plan there. You know, there's certification machines that are not working right now because of the shutdown, and we don't have the ability to fix them. So there's a lot of issues here that I'm trying to shed light on with the hopes that we can actually come to the table here and resolve this issue.
Now, on the SNAP stuff, this is going to mean that some children inevitably are going to go hungry. And my question to you is, how can any adult, you know, such as Trump and others, not know this?
Well, I don't know how they could not know it. What I do know is that I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we can fix it and highlight it. Thankfully, we know that the SNAP benefits have been extended at least through February, and the Department of Ag has made that clear. What we don't know and what is concerning is there's still an issue outside when it comes to these machines, the EBT machines, and having not been certified. And so we have individuals who have the card who go to the machine seeking to access their benefits, but because the machine has not been certified, they can't access their benefits. That has to stop. And like I said, I submitted a letter, flagging that. I think about 2,500 folks or machines have been impacted in this regard. It's a real problem. And the lack of compassion and understanding in this moment is incredibly alarming.
So I want to go from there to something that's a little bit related, Antonio Delgado, and that is your view of how Speaker Pelosi has been doing in these negotiations. There are some people who are saying, come on, it's not that much money. You can combine, you can get on the Trump bandwagon and compromise.
Well, I mean, I think you always have to be mindful of how to find common ground. Always be thoughtful about ways in which we can meet in the middle. And I do think that on the whole, that's what we've been trying to do. I mean, when you put forward packages with terms that have already been agreed to by the Republican-controlled Senate and the prior Congress, that is, in essence, seeking middle ground and doing so repeatedly. I voted, like I said, 9 times for funding that has been agreed upon in previous months by the Senate controlled or Republican controlled Senate. So we have an effort done in that regard. I will say that in light of the president's most recent offer, it is incumbent upon leadership, Democratic leadership, to counter and not just outright deny the offer. Yes, I would love to be able to not have to keep the government closed to have a back and forth. But at the same time, that shouldn't prevent us from at least proposing something that we think in good faith could move the ball forward. We are already at the longest shutdown in American history. And so simply, you know, saying we're not going to go back and forth at all until the government is open, I think is not the most prudent. That being said, it's important that we have a clear understanding of what we're willing to negotiate around. And as I've made clear from the start, you know, an antiquated third century solution to a 21st century problem, and that is a problem of border security, is not the answer. We have to make sure that we have smart technology that gives us an operational point of view of the entire border, 2,000 miles. And just simply building a wall, which has been deemed ineffective and wasteful and is anchored in divisive politics, is not appropriate. We can talk about other ways to get there and have a healthy, robust conversation around that. But to me, that is a non-starter.
What kind of grade would you give her? You know, A, B, C, D?
I'm not a teacher. Yeah. So I don't make a habit of grading. I do think that it's important that we keep, you know, doing the work, that we keep engaging. I don't want, and what I have heard from certain constituents is, you know, the concern that just because the other side appears to be acting unreasonable or may not be trustworthy, therefore, you know, we're not engaging. And I don't want that to become the story here, the narrative. We do have an obligation, even when we feel like we're dealing with a side that's not being particularly or acting in particularly good faith, to still demonstrate good faith on our part, to in essence be the adult in the room.
So let me just get this straight, because I'm not sure. I think you're probably avoiding giving her a grade or telling me how you think she's doing. I suspect because there are people in your district who don't like her that much. I'm just wondering, is she doing well or is she not?
Well, I think that on the whole, the approach has been going well. Yes. I mean, if the answer is, do I think what we've been doing has been...
Not we, she.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Alan. She has been, I think, on the whole, managing this situation well, on the whole. And I think it's important that to continue to manage this situation well, that we continue to be proactively pursuing common ground, that we continue to be proactively seeking the terms that we think are consistent with our principles, and not just say we're not going to engage until X, Y, and Z.
Okay, so
I think that's my point.
Okay, so I only have a minute left. I want to ask you this. AOC, everybody's talking about her. She goes, Cortez, she goes on national television. She gets more tweets looked at than anybody else in the whole country. Have you met her? We all want to know. One rock star
have
to
I
another.
Met her? Yes, I've met a lot of new members. Yes, I've met her. She's in a delegation.
What'd you think?
I mean, we haven't spent a ton of time, you know, talking. She's busy. I'm busy. You know, she seems like a nice person. I'm still trying to get my focus on the district here and making sure we have our offices all open, you know, making sure that we're setting up everything we need infrastructure-wise to connect with voters and constituents and make sure we serve everybody who's out there. That's the focus that I'm bringing to bear here, and doing the same thing in D.C., you know, legislative priorities, what matters, rural broadband, water contamination, health care. These are the things that I'm pushing and spending a great deal of time. I have a lot of respect for all the women who made history during the midterms, and they are incredibly inspirational, and I am very, very excited to be able to serve with them.
Antonio Delgado is the 19th District Congressman, and in my mind, a rock star. He's been in office since January of 2019, in other words, sort of yesterday. And Antonio, when we come back the next time, I got lots of other questions for you.
Sounds like a plan. Appreciate it.